Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SAMHI Hotels Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jakhanwala, MD and CEO, SAMHI Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to SAMHI Hotels' earnings call for the quarter ending March 31, 2025. I have with me today Gyana Das, who is EVP and Head of Investments, Rajat, who is the CFO, Nakul, who is VP of Investments. We also have on call our investor relations advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors. We have uploaded our quarter four FY25 financials and presentations on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. To begin with, I would give you all a quick recap of financial year 2025 and what all we've achieved thus far. This will also set the pace for our future endeavors as we look at financial year 2026 and beyond. We'll then have Rajat give a quick snapshot of our quarter four FY25 and full year FY25 financials, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. For financial year 2025, it has truly been a transformational year for SAMHI, as it is our first full financial year post our IPO in September 2023. Our portfolio, led by markets in Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune, and NCR, continues to drive strong growth in both top line and bottom line. Our same-store assets delivered a 16.5% year-on-year RevPAR growth, which led to our group-level revenue increasing by 17.5% year-on-year to 1,150 crores. Flow-throughs and margins remain healthy, and EBITDA pre-non-cash ESOP was at 443 crores for the full year, which sets the base for strong same-store growth going forward. From a growth perspective, we have made two very strong acquisitions this year, which complement our current portfolio and will augment our same-store growth over the next few years. First, as you know, is the acquisition of the operating 142-room Trinity Hotel in Whitefield, Bangalore. We are in advanced stages of design and development of this asset, which will be converted into a 362-room Westin and Tribute portfolio, dual-branded hotels. On current average rates, we expect this hotel to operate at about 50-55 lakh rupees per revenue range, so we are looking at an additional 180-200 crores of revenue from this asset on FY25 average room rate basis. Next is a long-term variable lease we have signed in Hitec City, Hyderabad, for the conversion of an office building to a 170-room hotel to be managed under Marriott's W brand. Development has already started, and we expect the hotel to open in the second half of FY27. We believe that the strength of the market, a very strong and recognizable brand, and the product shall position the hotel towards the top of the comp set, with revenues per key upwards of 60 lakhs, which will add another 100 crores of total revenue on an FY25 room basis for this hotel. In addition to the above, we have 300-odd new rooms within the Holiday Inn Express portfolio in Kolkata, Greater Noida, and Whitefield, Bangalore, which are now operational. Add to that the 54 new rooms in Sheraton, Hyderabad, and 22 rooms in Hyatt Regency, Pune. You will start seeing incremental revenues coming from this new inventory in FY26, adding to our same-store growth. Next is the milestone strategic partnership we have established with GIC, Singapore's sovereign wealth fund. GIC brings unparalleled institutional capabilities for us to benefit from. In addition to committing 750 crores of capital, of which 580 crores have been received as of May 27, this partnership has multiple benefits for SAMHI. It strengthens our balance sheet by taking a net debt to EBITDA down to 3.2 times on an FY25 basis, thus unlocking substantial free cash flow generation going forward. It provides us 150 crores of CapEx funding for the Westin Tribute portfolio Whitefield development, where there is about 375 crores of pending CapEx. It gives us access to a marquee institutional investor and capital partner in GIC to accelerate our growth. With a strong balance sheet and significant freeing up of cash from operations post the debt reduction, we are now focused on growing our platform using our time-tested acquisition and conversion strategy, but also increasing through long-term variable leases. We have visibility of an actionable pipeline in our core markets. We are also very pleased to inform you that this was our first full year of profits, obviously after we've gone public. With this now, I'll request Rajat to give us a summary of our financial performance for the quarter and the full year. And over to you, Rajat.
Thank you, Ashish. Good morning, everybody. It gives me immense pleasure to announce SAMHI's financial performance for the quarter ending March 31st, 2025. On same-store assets, we have recorded a healthy 15.8% year-on-year growth in top line for the quarter, resulting in an EBITDA growth of 22%. Complementing this is the ACIC portfolio, which now has crossed 40% milestone after multiple cost intervention steps taken over in the last 18 months since the acquisition. We will now truly unlock the value of ACIC portfolio in FY26 and FY27 once the revenue management of Marriott kicks in and we convert the Pune and Jaipur assets to Courtyard by Marriott and Tribute portfolio respectively. The net result of this is a consolidated income of 324 crores for the quarter ending March 31st, 2025, representing a year-on-year growth of 12%. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter stood at 131 crores with a year-on-year growth of 21%. After accounting for a non-cash ESOP expense of 4.4 crores, our reported consolidated EBITDA for the quarter stood at 126 crores, delivering a 31% year-on-year growth. The PBT for the quarter stood at 42 crores and accounting for exceptional items, the PAT is 46 crores. I am also happy to report that on a full year basis, we have reported a top line of 1,150 crores in the financial year 2025, delivering a growth of 18% year-on-year basis. Consolidated EBITDA pre-ESOP stood at 443 crores, growing at 27% on a year-on-year basis, which gives us a strong base to deliver future growth. ESOP cost stood at 18 crores for the year, which will reduce to 10 crores in FY26 and will stabilize at that level. Depreciation amortization expense are largely stable at 117 crores. Our overall finance cost stood at 229 crores, which includes 30 crores of non-cash expenses relating to amortization of processing fees, interest on lease liability, and other non-cash Ind AS accounting entries. Accounting for ESOP costs, depreciation and finance expenses, we have reported a profit before tax PBT of 80 crores. Further accounting for exceptional item as mentioned, our reported profit after tax was 86 crores for the full financial year. From a capital structure perspective, our net debt as on March 31st, 2025 stood at 1,967 crores. With a weighted average cost of debt of 9.2%, with a 20 bps reduction in our cost from the previous quarter. With GIC capital infusion, our net debt is now around 1,430 crores, taking our net debt down to 3.2 times, thus materially strengthening our balance sheet. After adjusting for the 250 crores of capital allocated towards growth projects such as Trinity Whitefield, which has negligible EBITDA contribution in our financials at the current stage, our net debt to EBITDA for our operating assets stood at 2.7x. The growth in EBITDA of our same-store assets, coupled with the unlocking of value in our balance sheet post the GIC transaction, will lead to a strong cash flows generation for the funding of the capex commitment that we have in the future and further accelerate our growth through tactical merger and acquisition opportunities and long-term leases. With this, now I open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. Karan, may I request to unmute your line and proceed with your question, please?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, Karan.
Hello, am I audible? Yeah, Ashish, the first question, if I look at slides 22 through to 24 of your presentation, what I can see is that the occupancies for upper mid-scale and the mid-scale hotels seem to be peaking out. You've seen, let's say, a downward trend in your mid-scale occupancies, while even in case of upper mid-scale, it seems to be stable quarter on quarter and year on year. So is that a trend that you're seeing where, you know, supply seems to have caught up on the mid-scale side because of which occupancies have been peaking out, or is it, you know, your conscious strategy to focus more on the RevPARs rather than the occupancies in this segment?
So, Karan, the strong RevPAR growth is a clear demonstration of the fact that there is no supply pressure on the performance. I think every operator and owner understands that a revenue driven by rate is more profitable than a revenue driven by just volumes. So this is a classic revenue management, lead management play. We're seeing absolutely no stress from supply, and therefore the RevPAR performance continues to be very strong, driven by average rates.
Yeah. Just a follow-up, if you look at the RevPAR for your overall portfolio, this is up 18%
year-over-year. We are losing your audio.
Hello, is this better?
Yeah.
Hello. The audio is
working. Yeah. I hope this is better.
Yeah, Karan, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so I think the second question actually was, if you look at the RevPAR for your overall portfolio, this was up 18% YoY, but the revenues were up just 14%. So could you shed some light on the difference? And follow-up, I think in the previous calls you've spoken about ramping up the F&B offerings. How is that progressing?
Yes, so Karan, we are seeing a stronger growth in room revenues, largely driven by, you know, demand, supply, airlines, office. And that's why you would see in our portfolio, at least the RevPAR continuing to remain ahead of total revenue growth. That's number one. In terms of food and beverage, you know, the steps have been taken, but, you know, they'll start showing results towards, I would say, H2 of FY26. Things like the renovation of the ballroom in Sheraton Hyderabad, improvement of the ballroom in Hyatt Regency Pune, some of the F&B initiatives we are taking for our upscale hotels. So all of those efforts are underway with an intent that we should start seeing an equal contribution from food and beverage growth as we are seeing in room revenue growth.
Secondly, you seem to reverse some provisions for impairment, I think, for the W Mumbai land litigation. So could you share if that is the case, and are you expecting any developments happening here anytime soon, or is it pertaining to some hitting claim from the sellers on the land?
Yeah, so we had made provisions in quarter 3 of FY24. As of today, of course, we had written off the value of that asset completely. We have fairly constructive dialogue going on with MIDC, which is the relevant authority, Karan. As a team, basis those conversations, we feel fairly confident that over the next quarter or two, we would get a written confirmation from MIDC, which will then allow us to write back that value of the asset into our books.
Sure. And the last question for the ACIC portfolio, while you know, the margins seem to be converging well, which is very encouraging, the RevPAR seems to be lagging compared to the same store portfolio. So could you share what was the RevPAR growth for ACIC portfolio in 4Q and FY25, and your expectations going ahead on the same?
So what we are expecting is, Karan, that in ACIC, we need to remember that we have the 4 points in Pune and the 4 points in Jaipur, which are being prepped for renovation and rebranding. So obviously, and these are large hotels. Pune is one of the second largest hotel in the ACIC portfolio after Hyderabad. Of the hotels that are not due for rebranding, let's say Hyderabad and all, we have seen pretty impressive year-on-year revenue growth starting quarter four actually. You know, prior to that, because it was self-managed, the focus was on cost management. Post Marriott taking over the portfolio, we've seen encouraging revenue growth. But we need to be mindful of the fact that there are two hotels in ACIC which will have a deferred income growth on account of the pending renovations. 13% for the three assets which are not due for renovation. So we've seen in quarter four total revenue growth of 13%, RevPAR growth of 13%. But the two other assets are due for renovation, so there you'll see flattish trends.
Sure. Yes, Ashish. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the sale of the Chennai hotel. I think when we did this transaction a couple of months back, the sale price was approximately 53 crores. However, in the result press release, we have stated that the sale price is approximately 3 crores. And we have recorded some exceptional loss on that exit. So if you can just explain this part a bit better. And also a related follow-up is that given we have an asset recycling plan in place and we may choose to exit certain non-performing assets in future as well. So is there a possibility that you might see such losses come through in future whenever we plan to basically exit?
So Jinesh, just two clarifications. The sale price is 53 crores. I don't know what...
There was a debt in that particular asset, just about 50-odd crores. So net proceeds...
Yeah, 3 crores were net proceeds post-settling the leverage on that asset. But the sale price was 53 crores. That's point one. Point two, this was an asset acquired through the ACIC portfolio, where at the time of the acquisition, we had to create certain goodwill. So what we have basically done is written off the goodwill, Jinesh. Otherwise, we have sold the asset at a fair value. Answering your question about subsequent assets, there are very few assets where we have this issue of, I would say, material goodwill on top of the asset value. The assets that we are currently reviewing for asset recycling, none of those assets have any such issue. So we do not expect any such accounting adjustments to come for the future assets.
It will be positive.
Yeah. Actually, some of those assets, based on the current discussions, will end up leading to profits rather than any accounting losses.
Understood. And sir, in response to the previous participant's question, you mentioned that given you are expecting a favorable verdict from MIDC, there could be some write-back also which could come through as you saw in this quarter. So can you just share what was the total written down amount and how much of it can be expected to be written back?
So Dinesh, we actually took a total hit of 76 crores in our December quarter financials in FY24. When we get the favorable order, the entire amount will actually be reversed. There cannot be any partial reversal. It's a very binary situation. Once the order is there in our hand, which will be favorable, our discussions as of now, there will be a complete reversal of 76 crores in our balance sheet and the P&L.
Sure. So this reversal that happened in this quarter, it pertains to this only, right? This asset only.
It pertains to some other properties. The 76 crores of reversal still has not been taken into consideration. As we speak, we have close to about 138 crores worth of impairment that we have still not reversed. That's an opportunity which is available for us in the future, which includes the 76 crores that we're talking about.
So, Jinesh, the number that has come in this current quarter is not for the Navi Mumbai. It's certain impairment provisions we had created during COVID times, right? And some of that are being reversed as we've seen consistently strong performance through the last several quarters, right? And in addition to what has been taken in the current quarter, as Rajit clarified, there is approximately 138 crores of potential impairment reversals And 76 crores is a part of that 138 crores. So even if that Navi Mumbai does not come, you're potentially still talking about a 50-60 crores of impairment reversals to happen over the course of the next few quarters, you know.
Maybe at the end of the year.
End of the year, actually. Sorry, impairment testing will be done at the end of the year.
Understood, understood. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, Dinesh.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Murtaza from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Ashish. Just a question. You know, if I look at my quarter four asset income that's grown by about 14%, your same store RevPAR growth is closer to about 20%. How do we reconcile the two? You know, is there any, you know, I would have typically expected. So is it that the other revenues are growing at a slower pace, or what should be the inbuilt, if I were to look at quarter four asset income versus quarter four FY25 asset income, what should be the implicit sort of room rental growth against that 14% overall revenue growth? I don't know if you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, so Murtaza, thank you for asking that. Let me clarify, it will be benefit to all. So as you rightly said, if you look at the same store for quarter four, the total RevPAR growth was about 20%. And if you look at the page number 16, where we've given the bridge for quarter four, the same store revenue growth was about 16%. So there is this 4% drag because of the F&B and other income during the quarter, where the total RevPAR growth has kind of, is higher than the total revenue growth. A large part of that, Murtaza, is really to do with, if you ask me, the what's happening in the food and beverage, where we are seeing fairly muted growth year on year. And as I mentioned earlier in response to Karan's question, actually F&B growth is about 6.6% year on year, Murtaza, to be precise, right?
For the fourth quarter.
For the relevant quarter, the quarter four.
Okay.
So that is a drag. But having said that, as we've explained earlier, two of our big ballrooms, the one in Hyatt Regency and the other one in the Sheraton Hyderabad, are now under planning for a renovation. And you would see in H2, because of that work being completed, the dilutive effect of food and beverage on total revenue will start to taper off.
Okay. So we should move again to, you know, the overall RevPAR growth more or less reflecting in the revenue growth number, because the F&B, which was a bit of a drag.
Yeah, but Murtaza, we need to be mindful of the fact that RevPAR growth, I would all expect in our portfolio to remain slightly ahead of the total revenue growth, because we don't expect or underwrite the F&B to grow at the same momentum as we can expect rooms to grow. I mean, in markets like Bangalore and Hyderabad, which are big markets for us, the demand-supply imbalance for guest rooms is leading to a... I mean, just to put things in context, Murtaza, in a market like Bangalore, in quarter four, we saw a total RevPAR growth of 40% year-on-year. Now, when you see rooms growth being so bullish, it will be difficult for F&B to catch up, honestly, right? We should set our expectations for RevPAR growth to remain slightly higher than the total revenue, but 6.6% is also not the right number for F&B growth, you know. The F&B growth should grow in double digits, right, so that the dilutive effect is not so large.
Thanks so much, Ashish.
Thanks, Murtaza.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers. I just have one question. What was the YOY growth in Q4 for the ACIC portfolio?
Pradyumna, just give us a second. The total growth was 10%. So, Pradhaman, for the, so I'll give you overall and then for the three assets which are not under renovation. So, the three assets which are not under renovation, the YOY growth was 12.9%. RevPAR, and 6% was total revenue growth, 11% was EBITDA growth. So those are the three numbers. If we add the Jaipur and Pune assets which are now due for renovation, which is where the total income growth becomes flattish, actually, it's just about 3.6%, but the EBITDA growth is still 8.2%.
Okay, so if we add Jaipur asset, then the total revenue growth is getting flattened. So basically, there's been a degrowth in the Jaipur asset, is it right?
In both Pune and Jaipur, if you take them together, there is still a growth of about 3.6%, flat, about 0.5%. But EBITDA growth is about 4%.
Understood. And when are we expecting these two assets to be converted?
So the work on Pune has actually started. We are in the process of completing the mock-up rooms. And through this year, we'll continue with the renovation. As you know, we are not shutting down the hotel for renovation. So therefore, we don't want to lose the existing revenue and profits we're getting from that hotel, right? So the mock-up rooms are underway, should be ready in the next month and a half or so. And immediately after that, the work will start. So we expect that by same time next year, we would have the hotel fully renovated and rebranded to a Courtyard by Marriott.
All right. And what about the Jaipur now?
Jaipur will start same time next year because we want to do the full renovation in the... So unlike Pune, Jaipur has high seasonality. We see a significant difference in the revenues in H2 and H1 in Jaipur market, largely because it's got a lot of inbound. So the Jaipur renovation will really happen between, I would say, April 2026 and I would say around August of 2026.
Okay, we just want to ensure that for H2 it's available, basically. H2 FY27, the Jaipur.
You book, Pratiman, you book 80% of your profits in that hotel in H2, really, you know. So you want to make sure that you won't lose much in the H1. And actually, because of the renovation and rebranding, you will recover more than enough for whatever you lose in H1 in the H2 with the revised brand.
So then, right now, there's no work going on, right, in Jaipur. So why is Jaipur not really growing in line with the overall industry?
No, so Jaipur, because it needs the renovation and rebranding, for them. Until the time we don't improve the product, we really don't expect it being held in operations. But otherwise, there's nothing for us in terms of product to be able to push it in comparison to the competition.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vaibhav Mule from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi Ashish. Congratulations on strong set of numbers. First question on the Bangalore market. You said you saw total RevPAR growth of 40% year on year, which is very fabulous, but significantly higher than your peer set, which is operating in a similar location as yours. So I just wanted to understand the reason of such strong RevPAR growth for Bangalore market.
So Vaibhav, you know, I always therefore caution us from generalizing anything, including market performances, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, today Bangalore is a very large hotel market. It has very defined precincts and micro markets, which don't always necessarily behave in sync, right? We benefit from two of our hotels, which is a one single hotel complex, Courtyard Fairfield, Bangalore, situated on Outer Ring Road, Bangalore. And that stretch of road has seen, to the best of our knowledge, has seen the strongest absorption and therefore performance growth also. So it's a very micro market driven, outcome. And therefore there could be some discrepancies, so to say, between us and the broader Bangalore peer set. But yeah, in our hotel, for the quarter, for our portfolio in Bangalore, we saw 40% YOY. For the quarter and for the entire year also, it was 22.8% actually. So it was not one quarter wonder. For the whole fiscal year FY25, we saw the RevPAR for the city move from 5,120 to 6,290, which is a growth of about 22.8%.
Correct. And now you are opening Holiday Inn Express in Whitefield, Bangalore only. It's under pre-opening. So do you expect similar RevPAR trend for this property as well?
Yeah, so what will also happen is that, and while the inventory is small, Vaibhav, it's 56 rooms, and our Bangalore inventory pool is pretty large actually. But if you see the Holiday Inn Express, the current product is 14 square meter and has been doing really well. It's got about 160 odd rooms. The 56 rooms addition is actually 17 square meter, and they are being positioned at a higher category. So our actual RevPAR realization for the incremental inventory would be substantially higher than from the existing inventory in that hotel. So we do expect, you know, that to obviously also have a positive impact. Generally, during the current year, we're seeing North Bangalore, where we have a Fairfield by Marriott and a Holiday Inn Express, do extremely well. Rajajinagar and Tumkur Road. Outer Ring Road, the Courtyard and Fairfield continue to do really well. And then in Whitefield, we have two hotels operational. One is the Trinity that we acquired recently, and all three hotels are actually doing reasonably well. So we continue to expect seeing good performance from this market, you know.
Okay, so you don't expect any sort of moderation in ARR in the coming year?
To be blunt, we have not underwritten such RevPAR growth rates, so we only feel really happy. If you're referring to 40% and 22%, then I will always say moderate your expectations. But I think this market will continue to deliver good double-digit RevPAR growth, you know.
Okay, great. And just the last bit on the renovation side, you said you are renovating two ballrooms. So what is the renovation expense for these two and any other renovation planned in the current year? And what is the total R&M expense related to that?
Okay, so let me take you through. There's a fair bit happening actually. Good that you asked that question. So total planned activities, we would have the opening of the additional rooms in Sheraton Hyderabad and Hyatt Regency Pune. The work is going on. We expect them to be operational in at least
starting of H2,
you know, plus minus a month, depending on final consent that we would require. We then would also be renovating the, as I mentioned, the Sheraton ballroom and the ballroom in Hyatt Regency Pune, in addition to the addition of rooms there. The ballroom renovation actually is a low capex. It's about 5 crores between the two renovations. The room inventory, of course, we've given the numbers earlier in terms of what the renovation budget would be. This is a majority of the renovations planned. Then, of course, the work that we start for converting Four Points Pune into Courtyard Pune, that would start getting incurred during the current year. Overall, we do expect about 175 to 200 crores of capital expenditure during the fiscal year FY26, of which 50 crores will be contributed by GIC in the specific Bangalore asset, and about, let's say, 125 odd crore would be spent by us from our own cash flows.
Understood. And post-renovation for these two ballrooms, do you expect better rates or do you expect occupancy improvement? So what, where is it currently lacking?
No, so I will allude to Murtaza's questions earlier about why total income is 15.5% when RevPAR is growing at 20% or 21%. And the result is that the total F&B growth is around 6.5-7%. Now, if you look at our portfolio, majority of our F&B income actually comes from our upscale portfolio, and these two hotels are a large contributor to the upscale portfolio. So as we get the better penetration and usage of these two large ballrooms into big hotels, what we expect to do is see a higher growth in F&B income on a year-on-year basis, which means that if my RevPARs are growing at 20%, I expect my revenues to not grow at just 15%, but 16, 17, 18%. As I mentioned, I always expect total revenue to remain short of RevPAR growth in markets like India because the room demand is really, really strong. But the 5 percentage point dilutive effect that we saw last quarter, we should narrow it down to maybe 2.5 percentage point really.
Understood. And just one last bit on the brand upgradation. So can you expect the delta in terms of percentage ARR improvement that you expect for conversion to Courtyard, Fairfield and Tribute, maybe for all three respective categories?
Yeah, so I think our big opportunity is right now in Four Points to Courtyard and Four Points to Tribute. In Four okay. Points, Pune to Courtyard, our expectation, and we have said it earlier, is about 20-25% total revenue growth. in Jaipur actually, because the asset is grossly underperforming. And there is a combination of both really bad product and also, the brand that we're trying to bring in stronger. There we expect the total revenue and RevPAR growth to be upwards of 30% change. So we see this sort of change in both the markets.
Will this be liquidated or?
These markets, I think, sorry, I would like to take your attention to the data on airline growth. And if you see markets like Hyderabad, Bangalore have grown between 12%-16.5% year-on-year change in passenger traffic, and that's a good indicator for what's happening to hotel rooms also in these markets.
Thank you. Vibhu, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question, please. Next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations, Ashish and team. Ashish, as you alluded, hello, am I audible?
Yeah. Yeah, Bharat, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. See, as you alluded that for the company, growth will not be in line with the RevPAR because of lower growth in F&B. But in that case, how do we think about the impact on the EBITDA margin really can play out? If you can give some color room, I mean, our EBITDA margin for our room as well as F&B and then overall impact.
Bharat, fantastic question. And let me tell you, whenever you see a total revenue growth driven by room revenue, you do expect the margins to expand significantly, right? Because F&B tends to produce higher contribution margin as compared to rooms. As compared to food and beverage, sorry. Right. Rooms produce higher contribution margin as compared to food and beverage. My apologies. If you see overall margin profile, if you look at quarter four, which is really slide number 18, you would realize that our asset level EBITDA had reached about 43% for the quarter. After accounting for net corporate G&A, it's about 40.5%. We expect this to be a trend we should see on an annualized basis going forward. So our expectation and endeavor is that not just for quarter four, which we all know and accept is a strong quarter, we should see this margin profile remain applicable for all of SAMHI for the full year periods. And we do expect to get there, I would think, in the next 4 to 6 quarters, so that the whole company is reporting these sorts of margins, not just for a quarter, but for the whole year.
Great. And what are kind of a margin one should look forward for F&B?
Bharat, if you look at uniform system of hotel accounting, which is the only way to articulate departmental profits, in a USHA format, you would see rooms division producing about 60-odd% contribution margin, and F&B would be between 40-45%, right? But the big gap there is that HLP is accounted for below. So unfortunately, it's not a true reflection of the margins because we all know food and beverage is energy guzzlers. So accounting for utilities expenses, which under uniform system of hotel accounting are actually below departmental profits, we would think the F&B margins are not more than 35% really. So there is a big gap between what margins rooms can produce, and more so in a high capacity utilization, high rate environment related to what food and beverage can produce. So we love the fact that our business is driven by very predictable, sustainable, repeatable rooms business. We just want to make sure that any drag which F&B brings to RevPAR to total revenue can minimize that drag in the times to come.
Thank you. Bharat, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. A kind request to all the participants, kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Pranav Shrimal from Pink Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. I hope I'm audible, sir.
Yes, Pranav, you are.
Yeah. Congrats on the numbers, sir. Just a couple of questions from my side. Sir, firstly, are we still seeing any supply-demand mismatch going forward in our main areas such as Bangalore and Hyderabad?
So Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune, NCR, which are 4 markets where probably we get 75% of our total revenues, right? We are seeing negligible So Bangalore is still seeing some supply, but thankfully the market size is so large that on a relative basis, the supply growth is just about 4.5%, against airline growth of 11.5%-12%, office growth of about 8-9%. So we are seeing demand remain 2x of supply growth in Bangalore. In Hyderabad, Pune and NCR, we actually just are not able to see any supply. So we actually expect Hyderabad to grow fairly rapidly. Interestingly, for the same segment of hotel, Hyderabad is still selling rooms at a reasonable discount to Bangalore. And it is our expectation that over the next few quarters, we would see that gap narrow down, if not be completely the same, actually, rates for the same set of hotels. So we are not seeing any reasons to worry about supply side. And one of the good thing about the sector is that because supply needs a hard asset to be built, it's not something that will be surprised by next year, you know. So we think we have a clear runway over the next at least 3 years before we start worrying about supply having any meaningful impact. But I would caution you, my optimism is extremely myopic about the markets we are present in and the markets that we are investing our capital in. It should not be applied to all markets and all cities, you know. Some of the tier 2, tier 3, we may see some higher supply growth relative to the tier 1 markets. But your answer, your question was about our market. We remain fairly upbeat about what we are seeing on demand and supply.
Okay, got it. And coming to Hyatt Regency and Sheraton, in our PPT we have said that they will complete by this FY. Is there any quarter target that we have set to be open by Q2 and not over the agreed?
Yeah, quarter 3 is when we expect this inventory to be operational for both these hotels.
Right. So we can sort of estimate that H2, these two inventory will be contributing.
Yeah, it will be.
Got it, sir. And that's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Lana of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first question is, if I look at the H2 revenue growth for the company, when ACIC has been in the base, it's been about 12%. So going forward for FY26, do you think that's a fair rate of growth that we can look forward to? And also, if you can give the ACIC revenue and EBITDA for FY25 and FY24, please.
Okay, so in terms of total revenue growth, I think we've always maintained that for same store hotels, and I think we'd like to repeat ourselves several times that when we look at KPIs and revenue growth, it's important to look at the same set of hotels, because the moment you add new openings, it just confuses a trend, right? So for the same set of hotels, we expect the total revenue growth to remain in the early double digits, right? We've been saying it for the last several quarters, but the market has been supporting a higher growth. But we maintain that for a sustainable long-term growth for same set of hotels should be a total revenue growth of early double-digit, right? In terms of actual absolute, you would see about 190 crores revenue from ACIC for both years. Actually, 2024 was 192.2 crores. 2025 is 190 crores. So this is for all the five hotels put together.
Okay, yeah. And in terms of EBITDA, please, for the 2 years?
EBITDA was 66.8 crores in FY24. It is 74.2 crores now.
Okay, fine. And coming to a question on, so I think in the press release, I'm forgetting which document, I think you have indicated that interest cost, your projection is 140 crores for next year. And then there are some non-interest finance costs, et cetera, which I think this year was close to 30 crores. You can confirm that. So I'm just trying to understand, next year as we grow in early double digit and the EBITDA grows a little bit more, and the CFO that we generate next year, after finance costs and capex, you indicated 125 crores of capex, I think, from Sammy's pocket. So do you expect some cash to go towards further deleveraging? My math is telling me you might have about 100 crores organic cash for further deleveraging. So if you can comment a little on this.
So you're absolutely right. I mean, even if you just look at, and you know, we hate doing point forecasting for the future, but even if you look at FY25 numbers and what to draw pro forma for the current year, you would see that against a 443 crores of cash EBITDA pre-ESOP, we would have a cash interest expense of about 145 crores. So 143 crores. So you would see about a 298 crores free cash before CapEx, right? Before CapEx. Now, for the next year, if you were to apply, let's say, a 15% growth on EBITDA, backed by, let's say, a 10-11% growth in total revenue, you would expect the EBITDA to expand by about 60-odd crores. And all of that is a straight flow-through to your free cash. So you would expect about, let's say, 360-odd crores of free cash. And our current estimate is that we'll need about 125 to 150 crores for growth capital expenditure and about additionally 20 crores for maintenance capital expenditure. And the rest is the free cash available, which is obviously available for either growth or deleveraging.
Thank you. Nirvana, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Next question is from Nana Raghav Malik from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is a follow-up to one of the previous questions. So the GIC co-investment on 4 points you mentioned, the 4 points conversion you mentioned is 50 crores, but the other conversions that are happening and integrations into, you know, the upscale portfolio W invest in, what would the GIC co-investment be, the amount if you could quantify?
So Raghav, just to clarify, when you look at a total capital expenditure growth plan, the largest bit in that today is the Westin and Tribute Bangalore, where we have 375 crores of pending capex over the next 3 years. Of that 375 crores pending capex, GIC will first bring 150 crores to get to a 35% position, and the subsequent incremental will be funded by both partners in a 65-35. But we need to remember that the three subsidiaries that are part of the joint venture today have a trailing EBITDA of about 140 crores and a net debt of about 150-160 crores. So we do expect a lot of free cash to come through those subsidiaries, and our expectation is that that itself will fund a reasonable amount of capital expenditure required to build out the Westin and Tribute. For the other assets which are outside of the joint venture, let's say the W in Hyderabad, the conversion of the 4 points to a courtyard or the 4 points to a tribute, which are the big capital expenditure items, that is going to be done from the free cash that we are generating in our business, you know.
Okay, so for that, GIC will not be contributing?
No.
Got it. Okay, thank you. And the other question that I had was for May, what would the revenue or RevPAR impact kind of have been because of any cancellations or rescheduling that we may have seen?
So we saw April being very strong, and May, because of that 1 week of escalations, we did see 2%. We are for the month maintaining a reasonably, we're still maintaining a reasonable, a small growth over last year, but for the quarter, we're maintaining a reasonable growth actually. So because of a very strong April, you know, we're maintaining a reasonable growth in the current quarter, but for the month, it is so far kind of flattish because of what happened for those 2-3 weeks, really, you know.
Oh, this is revenue growth, right?
Total revenue growth, yeah.
Oh. Okay, thank you, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. And now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish for closing comments.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank you all for your time and of course to our shareholders for their support. I think we're very proud of the fact that SAMHI has in just 14 years created an industry-leading platform, and we believe we are now ready to pivot the business towards its next phase of growth and value creation, and we look forward to continuing to talk to you and end up achieving that endeavor. Thank you so much and talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. On behalf of SAMHI Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.